Welcome to The Squid of Despair, unscripted musings on business life, leadership, creativity, transformation, and all the myriad of other work-life events that get in the way of a good night's sleep. Hosted by David Ayling Smith and Peter Taylor.
Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, David. Daz. Oh, I keep getting your name wrong. It's very confusing. But you are Daz on this, aren't you? You're officially Daz.
I am. How are you tonight, Peter?
I'm okay. It's been a while. Well, we kind of missed an episode, didn't we, due to various commitments and illness.
Yes, but I'm sure you've been thinking about lots of very interesting questions to set me, because I have no idea what you're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, that seems only fair. That's what happened last time, so I'm just getting my own back. So I want to kick it off, because I think we have to deal with the squid in the room to begin with.
Okay.
Well, only because, and this probably doesn't apply to our global audience in total, but it has been mentioned that there is a squid of despair in existence. It is Red Dwarf, the TV series. Now, for those people who may never have seen Red Dwarf, it's a very, I found it very amusing, but quite silly space orientated program comedy. And as you know, there wasn't a squid of despair. There was a despair squid.
And that's a very significant difference. And I would also point out that if memory serves me correctly, that was 20 years ago, Peter, something like that.
Yeah.
And I reckon we had the squid of despair idea 21 years ago. So I think we were first.
Okay. I'm not sure it was stand up in court, but yeah. I think that's good.
But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it my life.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So there is the despair squid, which is a hallucinogenic thing. If it touches you with its ink, that's a really bizarre storylines as a result of that. We are the squid of despair.
We are. And tonight we're going to be talking about... I was expecting a drum roll, Peter.
Oh, you're not getting a drum roll. You have to say the magic phrase.
What's the squid of the day, Peter?
That's it. Well done. You got there. The squid of the day is, I want to talk about expectation management. So to give you time to gather your thoughts on this, I'm going to tell a story. It's one I actually use I have used in the past in some of my presentations, where I have actually been touching on expectation management. And it's a story of my eldest son, Adam. And I just love it, because he made me so proud that he was thinking like this. And I think one day he will evolve into a project manager of some sort. But so Adam was, he was like me, he suffered isn't the right word, I guess. But like me, he was last in his class to lose his first teeth. And this was very stressful to Adam, because he realized, obviously, there was money to be made here, and none of his teeth were coming out. And in fact, he used to sit on the stair before he went up to bed, and he would be just wobbling his front tooth, desperately trying to make this thing to come out, because all his friends were losing teeth. And obviously, the tooth fairy arrives and gives him money. So eventually, he was so excited. There was a sudden cry, and he's holding up his little fingers. And there is the first tooth. So, he was so happy. And he went to bed, and guess what? Overnight, he hid the tooth under the pillow, of course. And in the morning, there was a pound under his pillow, and he came down to breakfast, and he was the most happiest little boy on the planet. So, the next day, he was really quite grumpy. And at first we thought it's because he was trying to get all the rest of his teeth out, but it wasn't that. We found out actually on day three, when my wife actually changed his bed in, he found that under the pillow, he had written a note to the tooth fairy. And it was not so much a letter of complaint, but a letter of query, shall we say. And what it was, he had a cousin, and his cousin had obviously been talking to him. And this lovely little note that said, "Dear Tooth Fairy, is it true that a boy gets £2 for losing his first tooth?" And there was, what made me so proud was there were two check boxes underneath it, yes and no. This is brilliant. And of course, the tooth fairy didn't pop back and pick this particular note up or be able to respond. So what we were able to do was, if he came out of this depression after a short period of time, But the next time he lost a tooth, which was not that long after, the tooth fairy obviously left a note with £2 at this time, with an apology for the administrative error that occurred on the first time around. And he was very happy. So, you know, that is my, I think it's a lovely story of expectation management.
It's a good one, Peter. It's quite a long one, isn't it? But I mean, I think you're making your point. And
well, I'm making the point. I'm giving you lots of time to think about what we're going to talk about.
No, well, I was transfixed by your story. I haven't thought
about this at all. Wow, I'm too engaging sometimes. Too engaging.
So may I reflect on expectation management? Could we define it, perhaps? And perhaps could I posit an idea, perhaps, that could we say, is it too big to say that all happiness is dictated by the reality compared to your expectation?
Ooh, blimey, you're taking it big, aren't you?
Well, go big or go home, Peter. You know my motto.
I guess that's true. You've thrown me a blinder there. I mean, I wasn't thinking at a level. You know, I just sit and operate at the project level. But yeah, you've gone realistic. You've gone life.
Well, we could go life and then we can bring it to project level. But, you know, there are maxims in our world, aren't there? I suppose expectation management, you know, there's an aphorism in the services world about under promise and over deliver, isn't there?
Yeah, which is about, that is true.
If you can set customers, if we can talk about customers for a moment, set their expectations realistically, or perhaps don't put them in a position where their expectations on you are such that you don't stand much chance of delivering, better to under promise and over deliver. So I think that's to do with expectation management, isn't it? And it's funny, you know, when I was younger, I used to play football, and I used to follow England, as you know, a lot of, you know, lads my age did. And I said to a friend of mine once, after a sort of a notable win against, a notable loss against someone who I really didn't want to lose to. And I said, you know, it's really, really difficult, isn't it, following England? And he said, I don't mind losing, Dad. It's the disappointment I can't stand. So there's something about the expectations that you hold on things that are important to you that means that when they don't happen, it's worse. And I have a bit of a theory about this, actually. And I have a bit of a, I mean, can I give you a bit of a coaching, sort of process, thought mapping that sometimes creeps into my world?
Well, as long as you don't charge me your normal rates, yeah.
But, you know, I find if you go through life with really, really low expectations, which, you know, it's not a bad starting position. It's one of the reasons I'm hugely optimistic, because I'm continually pleasantly surprised.
Oh, is that what that look is on your face?
I'm being slightly facetious, of course, but I think it is, especially with The Secret to Happy Customers, I think is about expectation management. I think that's a good one, Peter.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it reminded me, actually, because, you know, the world of speaking, live speaking, is just beginning to pick up. And I do, you know, one of the things I've done in the past, because I'm not very good at networking at these events. You know, after I've presented...
Peter, I've never seen anyone hand out business cards as rapidly as you have done at business events. I've seen you work for them. It's awesome.
I'm not a natural. I may do it, but I'm not a natural. But yeah, one of the techniques I have found is I like going up to people and saying, you know, when they're looking at the agenda, who's speaking, I'll point to myself and go, that guy, he's rubbish. You don't want to go and see him. And I do it on the grounds of it kind of reverse psychology, but also it is expectation setting.
Well, but we're into an interesting area, isn't it? A lot of people are self-deprecating because it's a protection against the fear of failure, isn't it? People will often say, oh, this isn't going to be very good, or I'm afraid, you know, I'm sorry. You know, how many times have you heard presentations start off with an apology, which is like, that's number two, isn't it, in the book of things never, not to say when you present?
Never, never start with an apology, no.
No, and I think, you know, self-deprecating is not a good way to set expectations. I think there's something else going on there, which is to do with, you know, lack of confidence or false modesty, but, you know, if ever I hear someone say that at the start of a presentation or a talk, it triggers me to think what's really going on there. So I think there are things like that which might fall under expectation management, but actually I don't think are very credible, actually.
Okay, I'm putting those in the bin right now. Okay, you're going to give me a coaching technique tip or something?
Well, no, it was about going through life with very low expectations.
Oh, I see, that was it, right, okay.
I appreciate that maybe You see,
it came out so quickly, I missed it. Sorry.
Well, I should have set your expectations. It wasn't going to be very good, you know.
Oh, this podcast could go into some sort of loop.
Yeah, I think it already has, actually. So where, you know, why did you pick that one, Peter? What is it that resonated with you in terms of what you do or what you've done that made you feel it was worthy of a Squid of Despair hotbed chat?
Well, no, it was. It's partly remembering that story. I was, you know, I was doing a bit of housekeeping a while back, and I was just sorting out some of my old presentations and stuff like that. I've got a new laptop, and I just remember that one. And there is a wonderful picture of The Rock, dressed up as a tooth fairy, and that was the image I stole. I know I'm not supposed to, but I did for a presentation, and I just thought that'd be a really good topic to talk about, because I mean it is quite broad, and you are absolutely right, you know, this kind of, you know, under promise and over deliver. We often said about the fact that, you know, clients aren't happy if you deliver what they expect, they're only happy when you deliver more.
Yes. Well, that whole thing about, you know, delighting your customers, being the sort of the end product of customer success, is about expectation management, isn't it? By ensuring that what they're expecting from you is, you know, it's less than what you can deliver, and so when you deliver more than that, you delight them. And so, no, it's an important bit of psychology, I think, when you're dealing with customers. I'd like to break it down a bit. I think, you know, if you're really working on expectation management for a set of stakeholders, you have to know your audience, don't you?
Yes.
You know, it's not your expectation, is it? It's the expectation of the people that are receiving whatever it is you're gifting on the unhappy world. And so there's a certain amount of preparation required for managing expectations correctly, whether it's a sales cycle or a project or a relationship, may I suggest, of which, Peter, obviously, you have a lot more experience than I do. So, you know, feel...
Wow. Okay. There we go. There we are. We've arrived at it. So I did make a note, actually, that, you know, unlike my previous relationships, and on this one, I'm actually under promising and aiming to over deliver. So there you go. I was ready for you on that one.
How's that working out at the moment, Peter?
Well, I don't know. I'll see if the good lady wife is listening to the recording, and she'll come and let me know, I'm sure. but yes, I think, let's try and take this in a more serious route right now. I think, you know, we are trying to offer value to our listener.
Yes, well, actually, the listener was very fulsome with their feedback on the last Squid of Despair 2, which was all about the power of a great question, and I appreciated the feedback saying that they thought that the Squid of Despair 2, which I led, was way better than Squid of Despair 1, which was sort of a bit of a chat, really, wasn't it, about
okay, very nice. That's very nice. I quite like Squid 1, which, you know, officially, if you go and look at the actual website, is actually Squid 0. I went for the American numbering system. So actually, nice. Squid 2, for listeners to confuse people, the one that Daz is referring to as Squid 2 is in fact Squid 1. This is Squid 2 we're currently on, but Daz will forever refer to this as Squid 3, and we will go down that loop of life.
Just always a little bit ahead of the game, aren't I? Or missing the point.
yeah, one of those two. Definitely.
Sorry, you were trying to get serious there for a moment.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to get serious. I just felt we needed to rein it back again. So we've got to satisfy the... I mean, we had a listener who liked the first episode, which is episode 0, and we've got a listener who liked episode 2, which is actually number 1. So I think we need to meet both of them, really. I think we've had a bit of frivolity. So I'd like to direct you in the kind of... you know, what makes for good expectation management? What do you think are the key elements of expectation management were done well? And I'm going to just quickly reflect on, you talked about sales cycle and get to know people, etc. I think that was one of the things. I know you used to delegate them to me quite a lot, but filling in those deathly boring RFPs, for request for proposals or request for quotes, though you didn't know who was on the other end of it, and therefore trying to create something that was in any way going to meet their expectation was utterly pointless in most cases.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole new topic, isn't it, about the processes that we often get put through as professionals to validate our expertise are often not starting in the position we'd want to start. And I think that is about expectation management. So, for example, you know, our customers may wish to check our competency against a range of sort of functional requirements, and actually what we'd like to do is to broaden the conversation and explain about perhaps value that we can bring that the customer haven't hasn't thought about or doesn't isn't aware of, or it's a technology leap that actually, you know, it's something that can now be done that couldn't be done last time they looked at this field. And so I think there's an element of expectation management that's probably about education in that, in order to describe to people the journey, the outcomes that they can anticipate from their interaction with you, it's not always in their language. And so there's, I think, an investment required to understand the customer's perspective, the customer's language, or I use the word customer loosely. I mean, any entity with which you're working, with which you're trying to produce a positive outcome, it's about understanding, you know, what that definition is from their perspective. And then if they're talking the same language as you, I think it becomes a little bit easier, doesn't it? Because you can then validate your ability to deliver against it, and you can, you know, under promise over deliver, hopefully. But if their language is not your language, I think this becomes very complicated. And I think this is where you know, active listening is really important. I think it's where having coaches on the other side of the fence, as it were, is really helpful, because it's something to do with having a common understanding about what you're all talking about. That is the definition of positive outcome, and then that's sort of a phase, isn't it, in expectation management. And then you've got the whole phase of producing whatever it is you produce, or delivering whatever it is you deliver, that tries to exceed that expectation in a way that's appreciated. You know, how many times have we seen projects delivered in a way that, from our perspective, perhaps as technologists, is a fantastic overachievement, because the customer asked for this particular piece of functionality, for example, and we delivered that piece of functionality and all this other functionality that would add value to the business from our perspective. And how many times have we, you know, been given the feedback, that's fantastic, but it's way too complicated. You know, my people are confused. They didn't ask for all of that. I just wanted a straightforward, simple solution. So got to be very careful about your definite overachievement versus your customer or whoever you're trying to add value to, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, well, 2 points that come out of that. I mean, the first one is, I think, that when we're talking about expectation management, there's not a single point. So, I mean, that's a great example you gave, that the customer. So, you know, it's typically there is someone who is interested in the technology or, you know, the business solution. There might be a group of people who look at it in detail, but the actual people it resonates with and impacts are, you know, are beyond that. So that kind of expectation has got to reach through the whole organization to some degree.
It has. And I mean, I know you don't like it when I go up to like 60,000 feet, but I think expectation management is probably the secret. It's the starting position. It's the pinnacle of successful selling, successful projects, successful relationships. Because without going through this process of understanding what your partner, your customer, your project manager expects, then this is always liable to difficulty. Now, it doesn't mean it's failure, does it? I mean, I think there's a communication piece here which says that, I mean, especially in a rapidly changing world, that we set expectations at the start of our journey together, but the requirements change. You know, if I may use a warlike metaphor, which I don't normally like doing, but I think it's quite descriptive, it's the difference between a ballistic missile and a cruise missile. And so for those of us that have heard this metaphor before, the ballistic missile is something that you target and you set off. It goes on its journey and it hits its target. But of course, often in warfare, as in life, the targets are mobile. Well, whereas a cruise missile can be directed to go around obstacles and to target a moving target. And so I think there's something there, isn't there, about recognizing that expectation management probably needs to be dynamic as well, because the end game will probably evolve over the life of your project.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that. I mean, I don't think, you know, expectation management isn't a point in time thing, because your expectations can change. I'll give you an example. It's kind of a silly example, but it is an example of where I reflected on what my expectations were. So we're currently looking at planning to replace our car, family car. And, you know, with everything else that's going on, crazy prices and stuff like that, we're looking at the E-series of out there. And, you know, we currently have a Volvo. Other brands are available, of course. But I went for a test drive in the new Volvo C40. And my expectations were around about, is it as nice as the car we've got, really? That was important. Is it as spacious? So we can get all the grandchildren's garbage and everything else in there as well. And, you know, what the assumption was, it's going to be, in the long run, more economical. And then after the test drive, the only thing I could talk about was how fast it went, because it was unbelievably fast on the short stretch of road that I was allowed to go on, and no speed limits were broken, of course. And I walked away, and I was so excited and so buzzed about this. But then I reflected that was a false expectation, or you know, it was a false focus for me on what it was we're actually looking to do. And it wasn't about how fast the cars went. It was whether it set all of my other expectations. I don't know if that made any sense, but I just reminded me.
I mean, I suspect, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, I suspect you were a bit of a boy racer, weren't you? And I say that with respect and love, of course. But
okay.
So there was something that was being fed by that fast car that you drove last week that sort of fed the inner boy, I suspect.
Well, we'll see, because Mrs. T is going to for test driving it this weekend, because she wasn't available last weekend.
I suspect Mrs. T might have been a bit of a girl racer, so yeah, I suspect you'll both
be
very happy with your Volvo C40. Yeah. But you have made me think of sort of another angle on the expectation management question, is that how many times do we see people who, in our opinions, have too low expectations of what the outcomes are? Again, you know, thinking in terms of selling projects and relationships. You know, we see this with parents. This is not my own experience, actually, but, you know, you often hear of situations where parents are uncomfortable with the girlfriend, boyfriend of their children, because they believe that they can actually, you know, in inverted commas, do so much better.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Not good enough for my boy.
Exactly. And so You've got that sort of thing. And, you know, and from a project point of view, you know, we've talked before about BHAGs, haven't we? Big, hairy, audacious goals. Sometimes on a project, it's more exciting and more inspiring and actually easier to make a quantum change in what you're trying to deliver against than an incremental improvement. Because an incremental improvement, as we've talked about before, is a bit tedious. It's about, oh, here we go again. It's, you know, we've got to cut the 10% or we've got to grow the 5%. And people are not inspired by that. But if you take that other approach, which is, do you realize the opportunity we've got with this new technology or with this new market or with this new leader? You know, we actually could achieve something which no one has ever achieved before. And so suddenly the team have got a rallying cry. And so there's something about expectation management, which I think is making sure that you're pitching the expectation in some cases way higher than the receiver perhaps has dreamt themselves. Dangerous path to go on, of course, depends on the dynamics, but I think it's an interesting angle, isn't it?
I think it is. So side note to Mrs. T, I think what Daz is trying to say is that by the time you get to your third marriage, then your expectations are so low that you're actually going to be quite happy.
Well, I think you're adopting my philosophy of life. And I think Mrs. Huzzah! T probably...
Huzzah!
Exactly. My bill is in the post.
But you're right. Sorry, I'm interrupting you again.
No, I was going to go somewhere else. So no, please reflect.
Well, I was going to go somewhere else. I think my somewhere else could be more interesting. So I'm going to carry on talking. But no, I was just reflecting that very recently I did a webinar for one of the local project management communities, and it's based on my one of my more recent books, which is Artificial Intelligence and Project Management and the Impact.
Peter, how many books have you written now?
I've just signed a contract for book number 30, actually.
Are you not doing my life story, are you?
Not yet. Okay, that's more of a pamphlet anyway. And it's, you know, the expectation, one of the questions I ask at the front of it, because I use Menti for interaction and get view from people, it is, how do you feel about the potential impact of artificial intelligence on project management? And it is surprising that, you know, I've done this about three times now, and each time there is a small group who are basically fearful of what's going to happen. And their expectations are very, very negative. And the point of my presentation is to kind of get people thinking about it, thinking about the positives of it, what it can actually probably do and how it's going to allow us to refocus on people. And I think it's a very good thing myself. And it gets rid of all that boring stuff I never really did like doing as a project manager. But when I run the poll at the end, there's typically a shift in people's mindsets as their expectations have been reset to some degree.
It's interesting, you know, you commented on, you know, all the boring stuff you didn't like to do as a project manager. I mean, there's a theme here. As I recall, the story you started off this podcast was there was some tooth fairy administration you didn't do as well. So there's certainly, you know...
I'm not the tooth fairy.
Oh, okay.
No, okay, the tooth fairy admin. I'm not responsible for the tooth fairy.
Oh, okay.
Which, is an actually real person.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just saw a linkage there, which I thought I'd point out to our listener, because I thought it was quite funny. it's a good point. And perhaps going back to the point about expectation management when you know, relationships, projects or sales have too low an expectation. What about the opposite, when part of a discussion involves a discovery that whoever you're talking to has got way too high an expectation? Again, think about relationship projects and selling, and how expectation management is about bringing doses of realism into the conversation, if that's the correct term, or certainly practicality. We know that transformation is complicated, don't we, for example? And we know that organizations that are doing multiple things at one time are unlikely to be successful at all of them. And so if you're looking at a particular endeavor, how important is it to be realistic about the person you're talking to's ability to execute based on, you know, the practicalities in their world? And so expectation management, I think, is sometimes often actually to do with the recipient rather than the purveyor, if I can put it that way.
No, I think that's very true. And you know, maybe this is another topic for another podcast in the future, which is all around that kind of, you know, that business change transformational stuff. But, you know, we have seen it. And, you know, there is a thing which is, you know, it's kind of change drag. And it's where a change is taking place inside an organization. And there's a whole bunch of people very excited about it, and a whole bunch of people who are immediately impacted. And there's a whole bunch of people who are aware of it because there's been a wonderful organizational change management promotion, lots of communication. But actually, they are so far down the timeline as far as when it's going to impact them, it means almost nothing. And so you get that kind of confused expectation and somewhat degree of dissatisfaction because it's, you know, I'm not being hit by whatever this great new thing is yet.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I don't know whether it's too early to summarize, but I mean, some of the things we've been talking about around expectation management, it feels like there's an education piece, isn't there? It feels like there's something to do with needing to communicate in a way that will be heard. There's certainly a lot to do with listening, to understand how the proposal, the sale, the project, the relationship is being pitched. A lot of listening. And then there's a lot of communication, isn't it, to do with setting that expectation in a way that aligns with the understanding of that expectation. And then there's the whole management of the delivery, which is, you know, the world in which we live, actually. But it's very interesting that it's a good topic, Peter. I'll give you that. It's a good topic because it sort of precedes everything that we do. And I'll go back to my premise that all happiness is dictated by the reality of the situation compared to your expectation.
Wow.
So this is just triggered something. This has nothing to do with expectation management. I like it, though. A friend of mine once said to me that he'd been given some counsel, which I thought was extraordinary, and the counsel was, there is no happiness to be gained by overthinking things. Ooh. And I like that because that resonated with me on lots of different levels. But I'll put those two things together. Happiness is dictated by the reality of your situation compared to your expectation, but there is no happiness to be gained by overthinking things.
I don't think I've ever been found guilty of overthinking anything.
That's why you're probably so happy, Peter.
I'm a simple soul. That helps a great deal. Well, yeah, okay. We can write. It's quite interesting, actually. So I obviously made some notes, and we've I suppose we have touched on. So I came up with five things I thought was important to do with expectation management. I mean, the first thing I think there has to be, like, well, you kind of touched on it around the communications. It was open discussions, honesty. That was the first one. So I think we got that. We didn't really talk about it, but I think, you know, timing, timelines, clarity about what is going to be delivered when, I think is quite important so that expectations are set the right way.
Yes.
responsibilities of, yeah, well, okay, it's not just every, it's not just one person's responsibility in anything. So, you know, this is, as you suggested many times, it is to do with relationship and relationships in general, whether it be a personal or work life. Then that kind of responsibility is important. And I think the other thing I wrote down was sort of optimistic realism, I think, was quite important as well. You know, kind of just, you know, let's get going. It's going to be good. We're going to get there. Yeah, maybe I'm dragging myself back to the project world, but I think it is important.
Yes. And maybe we talked about the opportunities and the pitfalls with respect to low expectations and high expectations. Indeed. And how that needs to be I don't want to say addressed, but perhaps understood, because it's a blocker, I think, perhaps to achieving the correct level of expectation, given the two parties involved in the transaction, whatever the transaction is.
Yep. And we definitely got the last one, which is all around sort of closing the loop and constantly reevaluating what expectation is right now. Because if you over deliver early on, then the kind of expectation levels rise typically.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, maybe to leave on a slightly flippant point, we often are not in a position to manage expectations because people make up opinions or they make decisions based on what they see in front of them. So how much fun have we all had over the last few months when we meet people for the first time that we've not seen in the flesh, as it were, during the pandemic? And so you have the oft voiced phrase, "Well, you're taller than I thought, you're shorter than I thought."
Yes. Well, it's because I did go around to all of our team that you were 3 foot tall. So that was a happy, happy surprise for them. Well, I think possibly at that point, Daz has gone off and sulked, or he's probably got some technical problem, or as he did earlier on, he's just shut his notebook down again by mistake. So I will continue to wrap up. He might leak back in at any moment. So I think it's clear that we will have a book coming out, which is called Relationships, Projects and Selling. That's something that Daz went back to several times. But it is sad. He's disappeared off my little screen now. He's gone completely. And I don't think it's anything I said, but I will close out this podcast. I'm sure he will be back for the Squid of Despair podcast number three or four, depends on which scoring system you're using. But in the meantime, thanks very much for listening. And your feedback is always welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to an unusual podcast from David Ayling Smith and Peter Taylor. More information can be found at www.squidofdespair.com.